out there in radio land. This is KPTZ, Fort Townsend, 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your computer is locked onto our website, kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show is called Our Town. The show features some of the unique personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington, into the eclectic place it is. Regular listeners to Our Town may have noticed that for the past several weeks, we've been rebroadcasting some of our earlier episodes of Our Town. That was a coping mechanism in the era of COVID crisis. The station has been fundamentally shut down in an abundance of caution. Individual DJs have been able to enter the building and record their show in solitary with the equipment. But those of us who have live guests on their shows have not been able to invite them into the studio to record shows. Needless to say, that puts something of a crimp into our style. But today we're doing a little magical technical workaround. You will probably notice that the audio quality is not up to our usual standards. It's been driving the editor of this show, John McPherson, nuts. But the show must go on, so please bear with us if the audio quality isn't quite what we usually deliver. Jefferson County is full of all sorts of fascinating characters. The show, Our Town, tries to profile some of them. But the show's only half an hour long, which is definitely not long enough to do justice to some of our fellow citizens. It's a synopsis. We try to get our guests to talk about their lives, their dreams, how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers, the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. The past few weeks have brought remarkable changes to our county, indeed to the entire country. Now, more than ever, don't you wonder who the people are you see around town really are? Who was that woman in a mask determinedly walking her shopping cart backwards up an aisle in Safeway? On the one hand, it was pretty clever because she was obeying the red directional arrows on the floor. On the other hand, it was quite insane. And who are all those people who took part in protests? There were so many mass protesters, and even some of the bike protesters wore masks. Today, my guest, Kelly Barlow, was one of those mass bike riding protesters. So, Kelly, I know you told me that your bike had three homemade signs on it. What did they say?
I had written on my mask, "I can't breathe," which we all know what that means. Two other signs on the back of my bike, one that said "Power to the People" and the other reading "No Justice, No Peace."
Cool. Well, that was a remarkable demonstration. Thank you all the people who participated. This show tries to talk about the entire lives of our guests, so we don't just focus on what they did in the past few weeks. We go back in time, and I always like to start really at the beginning. So were you a local girl born and bred right here in Jefferson County?
I was not born here, but I moved here when I was 10 in 1974 and graduated from Port Townsend High School in 1982.
I see. Okay, I'm always nosy about people's high school years because it often is very formative. What sort of crowd do you think you hung out with?
I didn't really have a crowd. I was kind of a fringe girl and blended in with a lot of different crowds.
I see. Okay, and what do you think your classmates, what would they call you? I mean, if they were grouping you as something, a nerd, a jock, what?
Definitely not either one of those. Probably a loner, maybe a bit of a partier.
Okay, party girl, I like it. So what did you do immediately after high school?
I married my high school beau shortly after graduating, and we started a family producing two incredibly kind, intelligent sons, John and Nicholas. They also both graduated from Port Townsend High School.
I'm just nosy about this. Did you actually have some of the same teachers that they had years later?
I did, yes. I remember walking into John's math class the year that Blue Heron opened, and here was Mr. Kearns, who was a math teacher when I was in school, and my response to him was, "Oh my God, are you still here?"
Well, were you scared of him as an adult, or how did you react?
Not at all. He's a very wonderful person. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It was just a little surprising all those years later to see.
Yes, I think it would be.
Yeah.
So were you a stay-at-home mom for a while?
I was. I was a stay-at-home mom. My marriage dissolved pretty early on when my kids were young. So my kids and I moved up to the city to further my education. And at that time, I was a single parent. So I was working full time, going to school, and parenting. It was,
wow, that's a lot.
Quite a busy time.
I would think so. What sort of jobs were you doing?
I was an administrative assistant. I've been a receptionist, secretary. So a lot of administrative positions. I had been in quite a few auto accidents starting when I was a kid.
Oh, dear.
And never driving, but I sustained whiplash in various auto accidents, which left me fraught with problems in my neck. So it wasn't until I started receiving massage therapy that I went into massage therapy as a career.
Because it worked for you? Is that why?
Yes, it did. And it really inspired me to help others who were struggling to get over a hump of the pain that whiplash creates.
Was it a straight path then from being an administrative assistant to being a massage therapist, or were there some other transition jobs?
There were some other transition jobs. When my boys and I first moved up to the Seattle area, I enrolled in culinary school. And that was in 1987. They had a daycare right there at the school. So I was able to bring my kids with me. I went through that course for a couple of years and was in the catering business for several years before I decided to go to massage school in 1993.
Did you go to massage school in Seattle?
I did. It was called Seattle Massage at the time. It's gone through a few transitory names. I'm not sure what it's called now.
And so you got your credential there. And the credential is a statewide thing, right? So
you get your certificate, and then you actually have to take a state board exam to get your license.
The license is good anywhere in the state of Washington.
Only in the state of Washington, yes.
Right. Obviously, at some point, you moved back to Port Townsend. When did that happen?
Moved back to Port Townsend, I think it was about 1995, if memory serves me right, to be near family, not to mention to have a slower pace of life than the city offered. So I think that was about 95. I wanted to be closer to my mom, and I wanted my kids to be closer to family also.
Right. And how did the schools here compare to the schools in the city? What did you think about that for your kids?
John was just going into seventh grade. So it was primary school. I don't know if there's a big difference during that time in school, although I'm sure that the schools in the city probably do offer a bit more. I'm not sure what that would be. But certainly in high school, there were significant differences. Nick, at his junior year in high school, decided he wanted to go live with his father for a year because he hadn't lived with his father. His father was in Olympia, so he did for a year. He went to Olympia, which is our state capital, as you know, and I think the schools are pretty well funded there. He was a 4.0 student in Port Townsend, but he definitely struggled in math. They were doing things that he had never seen before. So it was interesting. There are definite differences.
Interesting. I've heard some people say one of the things they like about sending their kids to school here, particularly high school, is that it's a safer environment than the city schools. Do you think that's true?
I don't know. I would imagine so, just because, you know, it is a small town. But I think all of the things that go on in the city whether it's in the schools or just in the community in general, definitely happen here. It's just on a smaller scale, and a lot of people don't notice them. There can be a lot of idealizing of our town, I've noticed, but there definitely is a dark underbelly, just like any other community.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. Well, when you first moved back here, did you immediately open your own salon, or would you work with somebody else at the beginning?
No, I actually got a job as a receptionist at the mental health department. I also worked in the food industry because those were easy jobs for me to acquire. I never worked for somebody else doing massage. When I finally transitioned to massage full-time is when John graduated high school in 2001. At that point, I decided to let go of the other careers and focus on massage. It took some time to build it up, but it's very solid at this point. I'm very fortunate.
I know you used to have your salon up near Pandemore, and you moved it. Can you talk about that a little bit? What year was that?
That was 2013. I had a space in my home that wasn't really being used. I decided that for economic purposes, as well as just making life easier to manage, that I would move my office to my home. So I did, and it's worked out beautifully.
Well, you actually have space that's separate. It's not like you're using a bedroom in the house.
That's correct.
Can you describe the space? What is it like?
There are two separate rooms. The first one is a large reception area that you can sit and relax, although people don't really do that anymore because of all of everything that happened with COVID. It's set up a little bit differently. People wait in their cars for me to ask them to come in.
Right.
So there's no crossover with other people. But the treatment room is quite lovely. It got a wall of glass with a double sliding door that I can open up out to beautiful Zen garden, which gives me lots of airflow and natural light. It's just a very nice space to be in for me all day, and I think my clients like it as well.
Yes. So you're operating an independent salon where you're the sole proprietor of it, and all of a sudden the virus hits. You, like many other people, had to shut down immediately. When did you actually shut down?
It was the first part of March. I did not work for almost 3 months with no income. It was quite a hit, but fortunately I did have some savings to tap. I did tap into the unemployment as well as the Small Business Administration loans, but I found the unemployment to be not easy to navigate because it really isn't set up for people that are sole proprietors, and payments for many, many people have been delayed.
Yeah, well, I think you told me that you never did get on the so-called official unemployment roll because there are various loopholes and hard for sole proprietors to get into it.
It isn't just that, but they're going off a formula that is automatic, and so you get information that says you're denied, and yet they still want you to keep submitting claims. So it's just filled with contradictions. It's because it just wasn't set up for us. Not only that, but it was not set up for 80,000 people to be using it. And same with the Small Business Administration loans. They wanted to get money out as quickly as they could to people because people needed it. But now they are actually reformatting and fine-tuning the structure of those loans. And they've extended the payback period if they're not forgiven.
Okay. So you had some time to think about how you were going to reopen and what you were going to do. So can you go through some of the steps you've done? How has your salon changed?
Most of the steps I already had in place. A lot of sanitizing. I already had an air purifier with a UV light in it that kills viruses. However, I'm now running that while in session. I'm only doing 3 people a day with an hour in between for extra cleaning. have to take temperatures of everybody, including myself, and wear masks. So there are some extra things, but honestly, a lot of the cleaning and sanitizing was already in place. I feel very confident about my system. And the feedback that I've gotten from clients has been one of comfort and trust.
Yeah, there were some little things you told me that you changed. Like, you used to have tea for your clients, and you used to have some magazines in the waiting area.
Yes, those are gone. There's no waiting in the waiting area. I want people to come in at the scheduled time, not sit around in the reception area. So it really isn't being used anymore.
I suppose you have no clue, just like the rest of us, of when the next stage might happen.
No, I don't. But I definitely know that it is not a green light. We need to exercise caution and still limit ourselves with our exposure. So there is also extra screening that I do, and I'm not working on any of my first responders, even though I feel like they need it more than anybody, and it's heartbreaking that I can't work on them. But because of their exposure, I'm just not willing to risk myself or my other clients.
Well, as a well-established massage therapist, I believe you have many regular clients. Are you able, or do you even want to take in a stray person who calls out of the blue and said, hello, you haven't met me, but I'd like to set up a massage? At this point in time, are you doing any of that?
No. No. It's far too early to be thinking about doing anything like that. I am just sticking with my core group of people who I know. They know me, and we're all very careful, and we communicate well with one another. You know, nobody's traveled, nobody's been around anybody that's traveled. And those are really important things to communicate to each other, because we are seeing spikes now that we're in phase two, because people are moving around more. And a lot of people are not wearing masks.
Yeah. Well, what if someone, one of your regular clients, comes in and says, we have planned a trip to go to California, or even more, we have planned a trip to go overseas to Europe. What would your reaction be?
The protocol would be that they would have to quarantine for 2 weeks upon returning before receiving the massage, especially if somebody's traveled abroad.
Yeah.
So those are their protocols that are set in place. It's just part of what we have to do.
Exactly.
We don't want to spike again.
No. You're listening to KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. The show's called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. Today, my guest is Kelly Barlow, massage therapist. Kelly is giving us some insight into the difficulties of making it through the COVID crisis as the sole proprietor of a business. Think about it. She lasted for close to 3 months with zero coming in from her business. And she tried to negotiate all the hoops of the system and had some success with it. But it's a scary, scary time for any business owner. Fortunately, she has reopened in stage two, and she's being very, very careful about how she is proceeding with her business. But having talked to her a bit, I know she also is giving thoughts to the future. And why don't we go there, Kelly, and talk a little bit about where your thoughts have taken you on making sure you have a more secure future.
Yes, it didn't take me long to realize that I needed to diversify and be able to reach out to people virtually, which you cannot do with massage. So I enrolled in some online classes. Three of them I'm taking: nutrition, sports nutrition, food science, and menu planning, so that I can help others online as well as in person as an adjunct to massage, to help people have a more enhanced overall well-being in their lives.
Well, that's really fascinating. I'm curious about one thing. When you mentioned sports nutrition, what does that mean, really? Are there different diets for different sports?
Yes, there are. Depending on your activity, there are. Sports nutrition focuses on whether or not somebody is an exerciser or an athlete. And these are two very different categories. Depending on what your activity is going to require different nutrients.
Okay. What institution are you studying at?
It's called Shaw Academy. It's a internationally recognized school based in Dublin. I saw an ad online, so I checked out their offerings and found that their courses are really convenient, flexible, affordable, interactive, and internationally recognized. So I enrolled. They have some very, very good deals right now because they want to help people like myself diversify. This may happen again, and I want to be prepared.
How long do these courses last?
There are 8 modules in each class and 8 classes in each module. So essentially there are 32 classes in all, and they all build upon each other.
So that's 32 sessions. And I suppose there probably are some quizzes or tests or maybe even papers.
Yeah, there are. So each class has 32 sessions.
Wow. So that's 32
times 3, and there are quizzes after each class and then assignments, and then there is a final after each module.
Wow, that's a big commitment to take on while working. A lot of hard work, I would think, ahead of you.
A lot of reading.
It's a passion for you.
I'm finding that I'm really enjoying it. I love food. I find it interesting at this point that my two professions, being in the food industry and massage, are kind of fusing themselves now.
Now, I know you have a garden, and we're sort of in the season where at this time of year, gardens are happening finally. What are some of the nutritious things that you have planted that you might advise our listeners to try to put in their own gardens?
When COVID hit, I really didn't want to go to the store very often at all. So in my garden, I had arugula, lots of herbs, parsley, oregano, chives, thyme, tarragon, which I use as greens, especially the parsley. Oregano is very, very good for viruses. And I just use them as greens. I would make these giant salads of anything edible out of my garden, including flowers, calendula. These were all volunteers. I didn't plant these this year. These were all volunteers that reseeded over the years, and they're everywhere in my garden. So I had a virtual salad immediately without having to go to the store. And they winter over, and I ate from my pantry. Also, lots of good things in my pantry. I think it's a more mindful way to eat rather than our usual dashing off to the store because we feel like eating something. I think that's not a very mindful way to eat. We need to be utilizing our stores.
Well, most people, it might take a little more planning than you, and it might not just reseed in their yards. With all this studying, obviously it increased your knowledge personally, but at some point I presume you're going to want to share it with people.
Yes, I will. I'll share it at a time when I feel like I have enough under my belt to share it. And if somebody wants me to help them shop healthy foods and how to make healthy foods, a lot of people don't know how to use certain ingredients. So I'd like to be able to help people do that.
So a longer range goal is to sort of become a nutrition consultant.
Right. It would be more consulting. I'm not going to be a medically trained nutritionist or dietitian, but more, on an informal basis. Of course, if somebody has health issues, then consulting with your doctor is always appropriate.
Exactly. Well, going back to your current line of work, I think massage is terribly important for people in general, both physically and mentally. And I do think part of it is mental. You have done a job in creating a feeling in your garden and your space, and it didn't just happen. How did you think of all the small things that make it such a serene place?
Ooh, creating space is another big passion of mine, and I believe that it has an effect on our health and well-being. So I wanted a space that had a lot of nature. So you enter into gardens, and they've really matured. When I first opened my studio at home, everything was very young. And this year, it has just absolutely exploded. So it's very lush. I wanted it to have good smells and beautiful sounds, and also to have access to nature. I love being able to open my wall up to the garden, and the birds that are flying by, you can hear them. And oftentimes there are birds and nature sounds in the music that I play as well. And I feel like they're talking to one another. Rain, you can hear the rain spouts, and you know, it's just beautiful.
Well, it's a lovely spot. I'm glad that you don't seem as stressed as you might be coming through this almost 3 months of being cut off from your employment. It must have been very stressful for you at times.
It was not knowing how long we were going to be out of work, because I tapped into my savings, and I'm fortunate that I had some savings. But, you know, it only goes so far. So I'm really happy to be back at work. And I missed it. I missed the connection with people and the interaction and helping people. I love that. It's such a wonderful, gratifying thing to give somebody is to help calm their nervous system and their mind and help them feel better in their bodies.
You certainly do an excellent job of it. I want to thank you for being on the show. I really enjoyed hearing about it, and we'll keep tuned for the coming attraction of when you become a consultant. You, I'm sure, will ease the spirit and the body at that point, too. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. My guest has been massage therapist Kelly Barlow. In addition to thanking Kelly, I want to thank my partner, John McPherson, the man who usually is in a glass booth, but through the magic of technology, he's not there today. He's editor and producer. He makes me and my guests sound so much more intelligent and eloquent than we really are. He takes out our stumbles and you knows. He gets combat pay today for editing in the time of Corona. We're not able to use our usual equipment, no microphones, no glass booth, no radio equipment. So listeners, our sound might not be up to par, but bear with us. We're doing what we can. We're going to make it through the crisis together. I want to thank you, the listener. KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend, is a community radio station. Everyone who works here is a volunteer. We give our times because we all believe Jefferson County needs a free local voice. We need your support, listeners. We need donations, and we always need more volunteers. Our regular listeners know that before the pandemic, we were in the midst of renovating a building at Fort Worden for our new studio. We're going to have real radio silence and silent booths. It's going to be wonderful. But of course, construction had to stop for a while. It's back on now. So hopefully we'll move, and we'll all be back, and we will sound so fantastic. So listeners, stay safe, stay healthy. I'm signing off today, but please keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.